If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Daniel chapter 5 and verses 1 to 31 as we continue in our series, Dare to be a Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 to 31, and since we read the first 16 verses previously, we'll start at verse 17. Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. O king, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines drank wines from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. This is what these words mean. Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple. A gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. And let's pray. Lord, we know from your word that we are living in the last days, and I pray, Lord, you would just teach us this morning how desperately we need to be interpreting the times and that writing on the wall, especially for our own hearts and souls. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last month, a website called Bored Panda came out with a list of some of the best things ever found written on the walls of bathroom stalls all over the United States. And here's just a few. Bathroom stalls are one of the few places where free speech still exists. Sprinkles are for cupcakes, not toilets. $35,000 a year for tuition, and they only have cheap one-ply toilet paper. Beware of limbo dancers. May your life be like a roll of toilet paper, long and useful. Boy, that's deep. That's really deep. But the Bible says even more important than the words that somebody wrote on the wall of a bathroom somewhere in America were the words that God Himself wrote on the wall of a palace in Babylon 2,600 years ago. Words that Daniel interpreted. Words that not only spoke to King Belshazzar in the Babylonian Empire, but words that also speak to the United States of America and you and me today. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Dare to be a Daniel, looking at all kinds of things that God has called us to do to stand up and be a Daniel in the tough times we're living in. And today we see that in order to be a Daniel, we need interpretation. We need to be able to interpret the times that we're living in. And to see that, we turn this morning to Daniel chapter 5 and verses 1 to 31. In Daniel chapter 5, the last king of Babylon sees God writing on a wall. And in our text today, Daniel interprets it for him and his kingdom. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we need to be able to interpret what God has written and what God is saying to us in our country right now too. Our text this morning, Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 to 31, tells us three things that we need to do in order to be a Daniel and interpret the times we're living in like God wants us to. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to interpret the times, we need to have God's perspective on him, which is exactly what Belshazzar does not have here in verses 1 to 9. Now, the Holy Spirit fast forwards here about 25 years. From the time of King Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4 to the time of King Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, here in chapter 5. The real king was Nabonidus, Nebuchadnezzar's son. But when he saw the Persian army coming, he hightailed it to Arabia to play Xbox and watch Wheel of Fortune and let his son, Belshazzar, the crown prince, deal with it. But because Babylon was protected by the Euphrates River, and because the Babylonians had enough supplies stored up to withstand a 20-year siege, and because nobody had conquered the city of Babylon in over 1,000 years, Belshazzar decides to party like it's 539 B.C. So verse 1, he has a throwdown for over 1,000 members of his posse. And verses 2 to 4, when he's already three sheets to the wind, he decides to make it even worse by slamming the God of Israel, by bringing out all the holy cups and goblets that Nebuchadnezzar had stolen from the temple in Jerusalem years before. Cups that were only supposed to be used to worship God. And Belshazzar uses them for a chugging contest. And verse 4, to praise the false gods of Babylon instead of the only real God there is, and that's the God of Israel. The Babylonian Empire was going to hell in a handbasket, and those people were partying their brains out. Sound familiar? But then all of a sudden, verse 5, Belshazzar doesn't see pink elephants. He sees a disembodied hand writing on the wall, on a white plaster wall, right next to a lamp, the text says. So God really wanted him to see this. And verse 6, Belshazzar is scared out of his mind. And he turns pale, and his knees start knocking together. And the Hebrew there literally says he wet his pants and had to change his underwear. So Belshazzar is really losing it. In one way or the other. In more ways than one. And needless to say, party's over. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit in the wind. You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger. And you don't diss the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So verses 8 and 9, Belshazzar tells his wise men he'll give them a purple robe and a gold chain and a huge promotion if they can tell him what those words mean. But of course, the wise men don't have a clue, because when have the wise men of Babylon ever been wise about anything? I think one of them's name was Fauci. And why couldn't they understand the words that God gave? Because they didn't have God's perspective. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. People without the Spirit of God can't understand the things of God. And why could Daniel? Why was Daniel so good at it? Because chapter 4, verse 8, Daniel had the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord was in him. And Christians, we got to realize exactly the same thing is true with us. We have the Lord. And this Holy Spirit is inside of us. It leads us into all truth. John chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. Which means we can interpret the times we're living in and know what's really going on. We do have God's perspective. And that's not arrogance. That's just insight from God's Word and revelation of the Holy Spirit. Last October the 27th, anthropologists claimed that they discovered a new species of pre-humanoid in Eastern Asia. They called it Homo bodoensis, who supposedly lived 500 million years ago because their heads were a lot smaller than our heads are now. But see, God's perspective is man is a special creation of God and never evolved at all, because there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that any species ever evolved into any other species or from any other species of anything. Sue's head is a lot smaller than mine, but it doesn't mean she's 500 million years older than I am. So it's not Homo bodoensis, it's more like Homo makes no sensus, because there's no Homo evidensis to prove it. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said this, "Work is a curse and keeps so many people from reaching their full potential and exploring their full creativity. Millions of Americans need to be relieved from the major stress of having to go to work every day just to provide for their families." So right now, the Biden administration is paying people to stay home and not work at all. And what's the result? Help wanted signs as far as the eye can see, and businesses going belly up because they can't find workers. But see, Genesis 2:15 says God originally created human beings to work. So work is not a curse, it's a blessing. The problem is the people behind this build back better nonsense are people who have never worked and never built anything in their entire lives. Do we have God's perspective? Because if you don't believe the truth of God, the only alternative is to believe the lies of the devil. So right now we are living in the age of the big lie. And we see that everywhere. 2 weeks ago, the FBI finally admitted that they knew that the Steele dossier, the whole basis for the whole Russian collusion hoax, was a lie as far back as 2017 already. And yet they still colluded with the left and the propaganda media to perpetuate this myth that President Donald Trump was a Russian spy, even though they knew it was fake. It was nothing but a flat-out lie. Last week, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky came out and said that masks are effective in stopping 80% of COVID infections. But folks, that claim is ridiculous because it's not based on any scientific evidence whatsoever. And if it was true, that means that masks are even more effective at stopping the virus than the vaccines are. It's just a flat-out lie. Ever since Joe Biden's been in office, he's killed the Keystone Pipeline. He stopped exploration and drilling for oil in federal property, and he's put the kibosh on fracking. And yet last week, he said the reason gas prices are so high right now is because Russia and Saudi Arabia aren't producing enough oil. We shouldn't have to depend on anybody else for oil. That's just a flat-out lie. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the wise and all the experts? Do we have God's perspective? Because, folks, those lies not only deceive people, they also destroy them. Last October the 29th, a Broward County school board member named Sarah Leonardi took a class of 5- and 6-year-old kindergarten students from Walter Manor Elementary School in Walter Manor, Florida, on a field trip to a gay strip club called Rosie's Bar and Grill, and even posted pictures of the kids sitting in the Rainbow Lounge there. Now, none of the dancers and strippers were performing when the kids were there. Why in the name of anything that's decent or holy would you take kindergarten students to a gay strip club? This is what Sarah Leonardi said. I was trying to introduce the kids to the community and get them into a restaurant so they could learn how to order food and leave a tip. And people, it's absolutely ridiculous because if you want to introduce little kids to the community, you can take them to a zoo or a museum. And if you wanted to take kids to a restaurant and teach them how to order food, she could have done that at Denny's. Everybody knows exactly what's going on here, and it's absolutely despicable. It's about conditioning young children to accept homosexuality as something normal. And Sarah Leonardi not only ought to be fired for it, she ought to be put in jail for child abuse. And if you think I'm overreacting, Luke chapter 17, verse 2, Jesus said, anybody who causes a child to fall into sin, better to have a millstone tied around their neck and cast into the heart of the sea. But what's even worse, last October the 15th, a bunch of students and teachers from Burlington, Vermont, put on a drag show for the halftime entertainment at a football game at Burlington High School, with students and teachers both parading around in gowns and wigs and makeup, while students dressed in rainbow colors cheered them from the stands. And a teacher named Andrew LaValle, who came up with that bright idea and who also, of course, leads the Gay Straight Alliance in that school, said this. It was all about making all the students at the school feel welcome and uplifting them. No, it wasn't. It was about using students who didn't know any better to promote and celebrate the LGBTQ lifestyle. So it wasn't uplifting them. It was about indoctrinating them and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. But just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, last October the 27th, during homecoming week, at Hazard High School in Hazard, Kentucky, students put on a school assembly called Man Pageant, where male students from that school came out dressed in bikinis and lingerie and did everything from dancing to spanking each other to giving teachers lap dances. And to top it off, a bunch of the girls in the school put on Hooters outfits and served glasses of beer to the faculty. And where in the world were the adults while all this was going on? They were soaking it all in. The principal of the school, Donald Mobilini, who's also the mayor of the town. He's right there getting a lap dance from a 16-year-old guy acting like a stripper. See the expression on his face? He's absolutely loving it. So at no time while all this was going on, anybody who had any authority, anybody who was in charge said, hey, this is crossing the line and we need to stop this. I guess not. Now thank God the State Board of Education stepped in and launched a formal investigation. And hopefully some heads are going to roll. Because people, that's not a high school, that's Sodom and Gomorrah. Now I realize kids can do some stupid things in school, but the problem we're seeing in America right now, it's adults who are supposed to be responsible for kids coming up with the perverted ideas and egging it on and chiseling away at the last taboo of society, and that's sexualizing children. And do you know why? Because they don't have God's perspective. The Bible says that children are a gift from God to be raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. But the left doesn't give a rip about God at all. So they see kids as propaganda tools in the war against Christian values in America and will do everything they can to indoctrinate and get those kids to celebrate lifestyles that God's Word clearly condemns because they not only deceive people, they also destroy them. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no revelation, the people lack restraint. Don't tell me, especially in these last days, perspective doesn't matter. The first thing that we need to do in order to interpret the times, we need to have God's perspective. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to interpret the times. We not only need to have God's perspective, we also need to stand up for truth. And that's exactly what Daniel does here in verses 10 to 29. Now, 539 BC, Daniel is already so old, he's not even buying green bananas anymore. And notice, he was nowhere near this party. But verses 10 to 12, the queen mother, Belshazzar's mommy, remembers how Daniel used to interpret all kinds of freaky things for King Nebuchadnezzar back in the day. So verses 15 to 16, they send an Uber and they bring Daniel in. And Daniel's life is on the line here. Because verse 13, Belshazzar hates Jews to begin with. And if Daniel says something the king doesn't like, Daniel's head could roll. So Daniel says, Belshazzar, don't sweat it. All those words are saying is that it's all good and God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. No. Daniel stands up for the truth and gives the king both barrels. Verse 17, Daniel says, you can keep your stupid robe and your bling because you ain't getting any older than tomorrow morning. And verses 18 to 20. Your grandfather, King Nebuchadnezzar, thought he was hot stuff too until God turned him into an ox for 7 years. And he humbled himself and got his mind and his heart right with God. And you knew that. You knew exactly from his example what you needed to do to be a good king. But instead, verse 22, literal Hebrew, you exalted your own heart and did jello shots with God's holy cups, the very God who holds your life and your sorry rear end in his very hand. Now, the reason that the Babylonians couldn't read these words on the wall is because they were written in Hebrew. The Babylonians knew Aramaic, but they couldn't read Hebrew because Hebrew doesn't have any vowels in it. So Daniel starts in, okay, here's the writing on the wall. King Belshazzar, each one of these words is a unit of measurement. Mene means number. God gave you plenty of time to get your act together, and you haven't done it, so your days are numbered. Tekel means weight. Your deeds have been weighed in the balance by God and found lacking. You're a lightweight. You don't do anything weighty or substantive for God. So parson means division. Your life doesn't add up. You don't measure up. And because of that, your kingdom is going to be taken away from you and divided among the Medes and the Persians. So this writing on the wall was a call to repentance. God in His mercy and grace given Belshazzar one last final chance to turn from his sin and to turn to God and be saved before judgment fell. And it was too late. But notice verse 29. Now Belshazzar does give Daniel the robe and the gold chain anyway because he realizes the interpretation of the writing on the wall was true. But the sad thing is he still never repents. He knew exactly what the writing on the wall said. He knew exactly what that writing on the wall meant, but he did not do what the writing on the wall told him to do. He never stood up and accepted the truth that God was giving him. And the question is this morning, are you and I accepting the truth that God has given us? Because don't tell me there's not some writing on the wall for you and me too. And you say, Kevin, where's the grace? That is the grace. God warning us over and over and over and over again to stop doing wrong and to turn from it and turn to Him and get right with Him before judgment falls and punishment falls and it's too late for us. Like it was for him. 22-year-old Henry Ruggs grew up in a Christian home. All-American wide receiver, University of Alabama, first round pick in the 2019 NFL draft by the Las Vegas Raiders. Signed an $18 million contract, already one of the fastest players in the history of the NFL with a 4.1740. But Henry Ruggs also liked to drink a lot. And even though his girlfriend and the mother of his baby and his family members and his friends and his teammates told him he better stop and get some help, he never did. The writing was on the wall and he blew it off. Then last November the 2nd, driving drunk in Las Vegas, he slammed his Corvette into the back of a Toyota RAV4 at 156 miles an hour, killing the driver of that Toyota, a 23-year-old woman named Tina Tenter. Immediately fired by the Las Vegas Raiders, immediately kicked out of the NFL. His pro football career is over, and Henry Ruggs is going to go to prison for a long, long time. The writing was on the wall. The writing is on the wall for every single one of us too. But the problem is too many times we just assumed it's addressed to somebody else, don't we? There's people sitting in this church right now. Listen to this message. Let me ask you, how many more chances is God going to give you? How many more times are you going to drink yourself blind with not knowing how you get home before you kill yourself or somebody else? How many times are you going to have sex with bad guys before you get HPV or get pregnant with a baby that you don't want? How many times are you going to keep taking those pills just so you can feel something before you never wake up again? How many times are you going to go to Choices in Ottawa? How many times are you going to spend in rehab? How many times are you going to be on that psych ward under suicide watch before you're successful and kill yourself for sure? The writing is on the wall. There's husbands listening to this sermon right now. One of these days, you're going to forget to log out of that website that you go on. And your wife's going to find out that you're using porn. There's wives listening to this sermon right now. One of these days, your husband's going to check your phone and he's going to find out all about that guy that you're texting and seeing on the side. You're running out of time. You're running out of chances. You are running out of road. There's somebody listening to this sermon right now. Cats have 9 lives. You only got one. So listen to me right now. You stop it. You stop that bad thing. You stop it and repent and turn to God with all your heart and soul because your deeds have been weighed in the balance and found lacking too. And because of that, your days are numbered. And if you don't repent, your entire kingdom is going to be taken away from you too. So listen to me. You fear God. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how cool or popular you or the world think you are. You fear God because this very night, the God of all things could shut you down and take your ever-loving breath away. You fear God and turn to Him. The writing is on the wall. You got to accept that truth. Stand up and accept that truth that God has given you. There's Christians listening to this sermon right now. You got to keep taking a stand for the truth about COVID vaccines. And you say, Kevin, you can't get political with this. You want to hear political? Exactly 1 year ago, the left hated these vaccines. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were telling everybody and their brother not to get them. My, my, how things have changed. And if the vaccines aren't political, then you tell me why did Big Pharma withhold these vaccines and not release them until after the 2020 election was over when some drug companies had them weeks and months before? How many Americans did that kill? 75,000, 100,000? They don't know because they don't care. Here's some of the latest facts about the vaccine mandates. The CDC admits they don't have one case of anyone who got COVID and recovered from it ever then spreading COVID to any other person. It's called acquired immunity. That's much stronger at preventing COVID than the vaccines are. Hundreds of millions of Americans have acquired immunity. The CDC admits that at least half of all children in America have acquired immunity. And yet the CDC is still insisting that everybody get vaccinated to protect other people. Bears reports over 20,000 deaths in America from the vaccine so far, over 65,000 worldwide. 2 weeks ago in Illinois, there were 9 deaths and 179 hospitalizations of fully vaccinated people. Do you ever hear this in the news? So far in Illinois in 2021, there have been 818 fully vaccinated people die with COVID. In the UK, people who are vaccinated are dying from all causes at a rate 6 times higher than the unvaccinated. Yale epidemiologist Dr. Harvey Risch, who is one of the most academically cited epidemiologists in the world today, said this: I would pull a healthy child out of public school and homeschool before I would ever allow him or her to get the vaccine. You say, Kevin, you can't question the science. Folks, if you can't question it, it ain't science, it's propaganda. The picture you see on the screen is Ernesto Ramirez Sr. and his 16-year-old son, Ernesto Jr. Single dad, was the only child he had. And Junior was healthy as a horse. Till last April, 5 days after he got the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine, Junior died with a heart swollen up the size of a volleyball. This is what Ernesto Sr. said during a congressional hearing.
Excuse me. I was a father of a 16-year-old son. A single parent. I raised my boy since he was a baby. He meant the world to me. I got the vaccine to protect my son. And after in March, April, they're announcing how it was safe for teenagers. Me and my son have never been apart. We're always together. He was my best friend. I always told him it was me and you against the world. He was a good, at the age of 7, he wanted to play baseball. So I ended up coaching Little League Baseball for 7 years. He was a heck of a baseball player. And he was telling me he wanted to join the Air Force. So I said, good, that's good. I'll back you up on anything you want to do. He joined ROTC in high school. He was always full of smiles. Anybody that knew my son would see he was happy. I wasn't rich, but I gave him everything he wanted. We didn't lack for anything. We used to go fishing, camping, do everything. We got the Pfizer vaccine because I thought it was to protect him. I thought it was the right thing to do. It was like playing Russian roulette. My government lied to me. They said it was safe.
And you know what made that even worse? After he died, Junior's friends got together and started a GoFundMe account to pay for the funeral because Dad has no money. GoFundMe suspended the account because they said it was spreading COVID disinformation. People, that's what we're up against. This is what we're fighting against. So listen to me. You keep standing up for truth. You keep standing up for truth like your life and your country depends on it. Because it does. Keep standing up like she did. 16-year-old Grace Smith was a junior at Laramie High School, Laramie, Wyoming. Born-again Christian, straight-A student, played soccer and volleyball, never once got in trouble at school, never once got in trouble with the police. But then last year, after Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon slapped a mandatory mask mandate in all public schools in that state, Grace Smith decided she wasn't going to tolerate it. So ever since last April of 2020, she's been cutting buku 2-day suspensions for not wearing a face diaper to school, citing all kinds of scientific evidence that wearing masks can cause kids to suffer everything from migraine headaches to anxiety attacks and everything in between. She once even got fined $1,000 for refusing to leave campus after which she was suspended because she said as a U.S. citizen she had a right to stay in that school and continue her education. So Grace Smith constantly took a stand for truth, but she also took a lot of heat for it. She got kicked off of all of her sports teams. She lost a lot of friends over it. Other kids at school called her a murderer. Other parents of other kids slammed her on social media. I could go on and on. But in spite of all of that, she never gave up. She never gave in. She just kept standing up and speaking up for truth. Then last October the 7th, she showed up again at Laramie High School with no mask on. Principal called the cops. The police came, arrested her for trespassing. Put her in handcuffs and hauled her off to jail. People, how un-American America has become. But you know what? Grace Smith was not about to take that lion down. So last October the 14th, she filed a lawsuit against the governor of Wyoming, every single state public health official, and six local school districts, and all their employees, demanding overturn of every single executive order, every single public health mandate, and every single mitigation technique related to COVID-19 in the entire state. You're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. Because especially the governor has no authority whatsoever to keep issuing unending executive orders, especially when they're arbitrary and not based on any scientific evidence whatsoever. Now, after she filed that lawsuit, Grace Smith dropped out of Laramie High School. Now she's going to a private Christian school. But people, that 16-year-old girl lit that state on fire because there's protests breaking out all over the place now. Protesters marched on the Capitol building in Cheyenne. And you remember bra burnings in the 1970s? They had a mass burning there. And state troopers had to run in and stamp out the flames. People protested at the Capitol building, the governor's mansion, the offices of state and federal senators and representatives, police stations, city halls, school board meetings, you name it. And what do you know? As a result of all the protests, the governor of Wyoming, Mark Gordon, finally did rescind that statewide mask mandate in public schools. Victory is sweet, but he also left the question of masking up or not to the individual school districts. So the fight goes on. But people, listen to me. Don't you dare ever let anybody, even the devil himself, tell you that standing up doesn't make a difference. Because if you stand up by showing up and speaking up, you have no idea how many other people will stand up with you. And that truth that you are standing up for some way, somehow, someday, will set other people free. The second thing we need to do in order to interpret the times, we need to stand up for truth. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to interpret the times. We not only need to have God's perspective, we not only need to stand up for truth, but third, we need the writing on the wall that shows us that we are living in the last days. And that's exactly what Daniel does here in verses 30 and 31. The writing was on the wall for Babylon. Now, in ancient times, the city of Babylon was just flat out unconquerable. Double walls, each 80 feet thick, 300 feet high, sunk 60 feet in the ground so they couldn't be tunneled under. And 15 miles long on a side with a guard tower every 100 feet. And the Euphrates River flowing right down the middle of the city, keeping every enemy from ever getting inside the gates. But when the Medes and the Persians came along and surrounded the city and laid siege to it, they started digging. And the Babylonians thought they were building ramps so they could shoot catapults down inside the city. What they were really doing was digging ditches. So the same night that this party is going on, the Medes and the Persians diverted the Euphrates River into those ditches, walked under the gates in the lower river level down about thigh high, and got inside the city. So before the Babylonians could even sleep it off or get sober, the Medes and the Persians took the city of Babylon without firing a shot. King Belshazzar was killed, and the Babylonian Empire was over. Just exactly like God prophesied it would happen hundreds of years before, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 15. How many of y'all realize there is a limit to God's patience? God begs, and He pleads, and He warns. People don't repent, God judges. The writing was on the wall for ancient Babylon. And sadly enough, the writing is on the wall right now for America too. Because everything that's happening in America right now is all a part of what God says is going to happen in the last days. Folks, the entire world right now is moving toward New Babylon. That godless, totalitarian, evil, one world system government of the Antichrist. And that's exactly where the left is trying to take America right now. Destroying this country as we know it. Even though gas prices are soaring sky high, Joe Biden is now thinking about shutting down another oil pipeline. This one in Michigan. And do you know who his nominee is for comptroller of currency? A woman named Saleh Aramova, who got her economics degree in Moscow during the old Soviet Union. This is what she said. We will be dedicated to destroying the gas and oil industries in America, which is necessary to win our fight against man-made climate change. People, the destruction is all on purpose. It's not build back better. It's build back socialist. Right now, the enemy at our gate is communist China, trying to take over the world and building hypersonic nuclear missiles to beat the band. And you know what the United States of America is doing in response? Well, last month we celebrated the LGBTQ agenda by promoting International Pronoun Day. And last November the 6th, the United States Navy commissioned a new ship that they named the SS Harvey Milk. The United States Navy named a ship after a sleazy gay activist and pedophile from the 1970s. Boy, that'll put the fear of God in the communist Chinese. Our schools are teaching kids that men can give birth and that guys can turn into girls. Reuters says that half the college students in America believe the Bible is bad for society. The left is using COVID to install tyranny and to shred the Constitution by trying to force you and your kids to be injected with chemicals that you don't want or that you don't need. God help us, people. The writing on the wall for America is so big, Mr. Magoo could even read it now. We need repentance and revival like nobody's business. The writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall for the world too. Because everything that's happening in the world right now is all going according to what God says is going to happen in the last days. Last October the 29th, Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, announced he was changing the name of Facebook from Facebook to Meta, a Greek word that means beyond. So as of this coming December the 1st, the internet as we know it now is no longer going to exist. It's going to be replaced by the metaverse, a virtual universe where every single user is free to create their own virtual reality for themselves and everybody else who wants to join them. A world beyond reality, where there's no God and no rules and no right or wrong or no true or false, no good or bad, no ability to distinguish between what's fake and what's real. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9, when the Antichrist comes along doing all kinds of counterfeit signs and wonders to deceive people, all those folks who have been conditioned by the metaverse to not know or care about the difference between what's real and what's fake are going to run to the Antichrist with open arms. The Euphrates River is the longest river in Western Asia. It runs through Turkey, Syria, and Iraq. And for centuries, the land between the Euphrates and the Tigris River was known as the Fertile Crescent because the water made it a green oasis right in the middle of the desert there. But Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 and 16 says, in the last days, the Euphrates River is going to dry up to clear the way for that 200 million man army from China to travel to Israel for the Battle of Armageddon, where Jesus will fight against them and destroy them. And what do you know? Because of dams that have been built along the Euphrates, and because of all kinds of droughts that have happened in the last 18 years, the Euphrates River actually is drying up right now in front of our very eyes. And it's so bad, the electrical output of those dams on that river is down 70%. And millions of people living along that river right now are in humanitarian crisis for lack of water. The United Nations says at this rate, within 10 years, the Euphrates River will be completely dried up. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 15 says, in the last days, the Euphrates River will be so insignificant, people will be able to walk across it with their sandals on. People, it's already there. The writing is on the wall, just exactly like God said. God interrupted the flow of the Euphrates River to bring about the fall of the first Babylon. God's going to interrupt the flow of the Euphrates River again to bring about the fall of the second Babylon. Revelation chapter 9, verse 18 says, in the last days, one third of all people on earth will be killed by a plague. And if you thought the coronavirus was bad, last April we found out about another virus that was made in China by gain-of-function research in that same lab in Wuhan. It's called the Nipah virus. And why the concern? Because the fatality rate for coronavirus is less than 1%, but the fatality rate for the Nipah virus is 80%, which means 8 out of every 10 people who get it die from it because there is no cure. So people, if that Nipah virus ever got out of that lab, we are talking about the destruction of life on Earth as we know it. And here's the kicker. The Nipah virus has already gotten out of that lab and has been killing people in southern India since last September already. The writing is on the wall, just exactly like God says. But listen to me. Don't have a cow, because things are not falling apart. Things are really coming together, just exactly like God says in His Word. Revelation chapter 18, verse 10 says that New Babylon, that evil one world system government of the Antichrist, is going to fall and be destroyed just like that in less than an hour, one of these days soon. And the good news is, you don't have to be falling and being destroyed with it, because God in His mercy and grace has provided a way for you to escape. Because through simple faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for you at the cross to take your sins away, Jesus will rapture you out of here and take you out of that Babylon right when the trouble's getting started. Just like He did for her. Last Friday night, November the 5th, at rapper Travis Scott's Astroworld concert, NRG Park in Houston, Texas, 8 people were killed when 50,000 people in the crowd started rushing the stage, the media said. But there's all kinds of things about that concert the media didn't tell us, too. Now, Astroworld has been a multi-day concert that's attracted hundreds of thousands of fans for several years now. But there has always been a spirit of the demonic about the whole thing. This year's promo ad for that concert sheds, "Open your eyes to a whole new universe," shows people being sucked into a dark red hole with the occult sign of the eye of the Illuminati looking down on it. Outside the concert area, there was a huge, gory-looking Travis Scott head, and another huge skull with snakes crawling around in it. And the set on stage was a portal into hell with the words that said, "See you on the other side." You talk about a creep show. And I know all the skeptics are saying, "You stupid Christians, you're just having satanic panic." There's absolutely nothing satanic about Travis Scott or rap music or that concert. Really. Because a lot of rap music has been all about the demonic from the very beginning. 3-6 Mafia, Little Uzi with the upside down crosses, Nas's video about giving the devil a lamp dance in hell. Last year, 2019 Astroworld concert, Travis Scott invited Marilyn Manson to perform. And he came and sang Antichrist Superstar and burned a Bible on stage. This year's Astroworld concert happened exactly 666 months and 6 days after the founding of the Church of Satan. Travis Scott's birthday is also the same day as the founding of the Church of Satan. I could go on and on. This year he asked rapper Drake to come and perform at Astroworld. Drake and Travis Scott were born exactly 66 months and 6 days apart. I could go on and on. You're saying, "So Kevin, you're saying that Travis Scott is a devil worshiper." I have no idea. But listen, the devil doesn't care whether you worship him or not, just as long as you don't worship Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. You throw a party and invite the devil to it like Travis Scott obviously did, he's going to show up and take over. And because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, there's going to be a human sacrifice. And there was. 9 people dead now. And 300 injured. About 9 o'clock that night, right after Travis Scott started performing, all hell broke loose when he invited people to jump up on the stage. And 50,000 crowd members started rushing forward. And you can see from the pictures there how bad it was for the fans. People packed so tight their feet weren't even touching the ground, just being carried along. Packed so tight they couldn't breathe, and they started passing out and falling on the ground and getting trampled because the people stepping on them couldn't help from stepping on them because they weren't in control of their movements either. You talk about a dangerous situation. And folks, sadly enough, take a look at those pictures. Look at Babylon, because that's exactly what the Bible says New Babylon is going to be like in the last days. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of clueless people having no idea that they're doomed, no idea that their kingdom is going to fall, and yet parting their brains out and glorifying the dark side. Babylon, the home of every demon and every evil unclean thing. Revelation chapter 18, verse 2. So what do you need to do? You need to get out. You need to get out right now and be saved from it so that you are not destroyed and swept along in the flood of dissipation right along with everybody else. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. You get out just like she did. 22-year-old Bianca Strauss was 25 feet from that stage when all of a sudden the crowd rushed the front. And because she's only 5 feet tall, she got bulldozed to the ground and started getting trampled. And all kinds of people on the ground on top of her and right next to her were thrashing around because they were struggling to get air too and struggling to get free. And they were pulling her hair and yanking her down every time she tried to get up. And they were choking her. And they were strangling her. And she could feel herself slipping in and out of consciousness. She realized she was dying. She just started crying out, "Jesus, don't let me die like this. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me." And then what do you know? Just like that, all of a sudden, a really big guy came like from right out of nowhere, reached down in the middle of that scrum, pulled her out, put her on his shoulders, bowled his way through the crowd, and set her down in safety at the edge of the concert area, and then went right back in to save other people too. People, listen to me this morning. You stay in Babylon, you're going to die. But see, there is another really, really big guy who can save you and pull you out of it. That really big guy is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Because 2,000 years ago already, Jesus Christ reached down and pulled you out of the pile and put you and all your sin on His shoulders on the cross and shed His blood to pay the price for your sin and then rose from the dead for your salvation. So today, you confess your sins to God, you put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. He will save you. And He will get you out of Babylon. Because you know why? Many, many tekel parson. The writing on the wall is there for you, isn't it? Because the writing on the wall is there for all of us. Because there is not one person sitting in this church right now, not one person listening to the sermon whose deeds have not been weighed in the balance and found lacking. Is there? The Holy Spirit gave Belshazzar the ability to understand the writing on the wall for him. Right now, the Holy Spirit is giving you the ability to understand the writing on the wall for you. The problem is Belshazzar didn't heed that writing on the wall and never repented and was lost. But listen to me this morning. You don't have to make that mistake. Today, right here, right now, in these last days, in a nation and in a world that's racing toward judgment day, you have no guarantee how much time you have left. You have no guarantee if you're going to have any chances left. Today, right here, right now, you heed that writing on the wall and come to Christ.
Invited all his men to come and play. He didn't know before the night was over that the kingdom that he held would pass away. Soon the crowd began to roar in drunken slumber. A worried look soon took his smile away. As he looked, and behold, I see a finger, and it's writing something on the wall today. The handwriting's on the wall, can't you see it? The message tells a story still today. Don't be weighed in the balance and found wanting. Don't turn down the truth for today. I sent you warnings and now I send you judgment on a nation that's forgotten how to pray. And there's no way to erase it. The handwriting's on the wall again today. Now the world's getting closer to destruction. As we walk the streets, we hear the word doomsday. Now we all know that something's soon to happen. We can't then refuse to stop and pray. Oh, their laughter one day will turn to mourning. And their cries for help will be heard far away. Like the king when he finally got the message. It's then he realized he waited too late. The handwriting's on the wall, can't you see it? Message tells a story still today. Don't be weighed in the balance and found wanting. Don't turn down the truth for today. I sent you warnings and now I send you judgment on a nation that's forgotten how to pray. And there's no way to erase it. The handwriting's on the wall again today. And there's no way to erase it. The handwriting's on the wall again today.